Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon. Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, the judgment of God is literally pulling the world apart at the seams as we watch ourselves descending into global chaos. You think I'm making this up? You think I am sensationalizing these things? Not at all. I'm probably not even stating it strongly enough. In Europe, the police are breaking up protests against the vaccination passport and mandatory COVID vaccines. Hundreds of thousands, in fact, 1.6 million people in Europe are protesting mandatory vaccinations and COVID vaccine passports. And the police in country after country are stopping those protests while at the same time allowing the LGBTQ plus demonstrations to take over and to control the streets. In the United States, the American Medical Association is preparing to remove biological sex from birth certificates. The American Medical Association is getting ready to take boy and girl, male and female off of birth certificates here in the United States. The Olympics debuted the first ever transgender athlete, a biological man competing against biological women. In Israel, they are preparing to roll out the third round of the COVID shots because the first two aren't working so good. They're not really doing the job. Now they're going to have an endless series of booster shots. We have been lied to every step of the way about the COVID vaccine. And now the vaccinated have become the super spreaders to the unvaccinated. Do you feel like you're living in the end times? Well, you should, because that's absolutely where you are. Habakkuk 1:5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, the daily news headlines are bad enough and scary enough to make your eyes bleed just from reading them. Misinformation and disinformation is pouring out of every outlet, so much so that if you're not reading your King James Bible, you're not getting any truth at all. Now, we've told you from the very beginning, all of this, that this pandemic was not ever going to end. It was going to morph and it was going to change. But we've been telling you for 17 months that this is never going to end. Why? Because these are the last days. You're living in them. And the whole world has come under the judgment of Almighty God as he allows the spirit of the coming Antichrist to infect this world. We are living in the overlap between the end of the church age and the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. And somewhere in the murky midst of these two things, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church will take place. Before you mask up, you better pray up. Because this sin-cursed world is about to flip over and you're going to fly if you're saved. If you're not saved, well, you better get ready to face Antichrist because he is right around the corner. Breathe deep and you'll smell him. That's how close we are. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you so much for our sister Connie last night, Lord, who prayed to receive you. And how exciting it is. We have seen so many people getting saved through our weekly Bible studies and podcasts. And last night, Connie bowed her head and prayed to receive you. And that is a cause for shouting and for celebration. And in the midst of that, we have crazy, crazy things going on. My friend Mark Bennett just passed away from COVID-19 on Friday. They're getting ready to have his funeral. My old pastor at the church that I used to attend, he has COVID. I found that out yesterday, and we prayed for him last night. But please keep Pastor Daniel King in your prayers. He has COVID right now, and he's a young man. He's about 38, 39. Giacomino says, please pray for my friend Jeff, who has COVID. Please pray for my mom, Joyce. She's been very depressed. And can we also please pray for some of our overseas NTEB brothers and sisters, like Feely, Bataloy, Ricky Gouda, and Pastor John Ree Malabi Caballero, and I'll throw into that mix Pastor Danny from the Philippines as well. Jeanette says, need prayer for my sciatica. It's really hurting today. Athena says, hello, family. I fell and injured my right hand, so I can't type much. And I also want to pray for Chelsea out on the West Coast and Jacqueline in New Mexico, Lori D. and Amanda in Pennsylvania. And I want to pray for Jesse to get saved up in Maine. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for a very full chat room on a Monday afternoon. We thank you, Lord, that so many people care to gather together to see what the news is from your perspective. And we commit this time to you. We ask for your provision, your protection, your power, your blessing. We are truly on the front lines of the end times. The war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. And we are called to the fight. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, talking about fighting, talking about being a soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, Jesus, who has chosen him, me and you, to be a soldier. And we commit this time to you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Very, very glad that you're here today. We have so much to talk about. There is so many crazy things happening right now. Here in St. Augustine, 91 people are hospitalized with COVID. 10 of those people are on ventilators. Up in Jacksonville, in the Children's Hospital, over 138 children, are hospitalized in the Wolfson's Children's Hospital in Jacksonville, and 36 of those children are on ventilators. Delta is no joke, and we've told you from the very beginning, the coronavirus is not a hoax. Do not listen to anybody who tells you that the COVID virus is not real. It is very real, and it's deadly in certain situations. Now, I have prayed about this and prayed about this and prayed about this, about the vaccine. I was talking with a friend of mine just before the show started today, and he was up in Jacksonville getting his annual checkup. And he was talking to the nurse about the COVID vaccine. And he was just asking for what her opinion on the COVID vaccine was. And thankfully, she was very honest with my friend. The nurse turned to him and said, I took the first shot, the Moderna shot. You know, that shot that the CEO of Moderna said that we are creating software for an operating system, and that this mRNA technology is It gives you the power to hack into the kingdom of life. That's what the CEO of Moderna said. And so this nurse told my friend just 2 hours ago that she took the first shot and immediately she felt drunk. She felt like she had had multiple shots of whiskey. And then for weeks after that, she had heart palpitations. She felt terrible. She felt bad. Thank God she didn't get blood clots. Thank God she didn't die from it. And then this nurse told my friend this morning, after that reaction to the first shot, she would not be taking any more vaccination shots for COVID. And I'm glad that I had that conversation with my friend today. And I'm glad that he relayed to me what a nurse said this morning about the vaccine. The Bible talks about there being death in the pot. And it's really come down to 2 Kings 4:40. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. I'm glad that this nurse told my friend this morning that she would not be taking any more COVID vaccines. And I'm glad that she didn't have worse reactions than she did. But heart palpitations are pretty scary. Feeling like you're drunk, that's pretty scary, especially when you haven't been drinking. That's a very frightening feeling. I'm not going to take the shot. God gave me an immune system, and I am doing my very best. I am staying away from large groups of people. I would advise you to do the same. I choose not to wear a mask, but I'm not really around a whole lot of people, so it doesn't make a difference. But if you're not sure, put a mask on. But I'm not going to take the shot. And let me tell you one of the main reasons why I'm not going to take the shot. And in order for me to tell you this quick little story, I need to bring you back in time to the mid-1980s. In fact, I want to take you to 1986, the summer of 1986. And I really want you to pay attention to this story because it happened to me, it happened to my brother, and it's a true story, and it has to do with Anthony Fauci. And it has nothing to do with coronavirus. It has nothing to do with vaccines. It has nothing to do with the Delta variant. In the summer of 1986, my older brother, Bob, he was a homosexual. I loved him more than I ever loved anybody else. He was my best friend. He was my buddy. He was my confidant. And the only reason why I mentioned that he was a homosexual is because he was diagnosed with HIV. And in the summer of 1986, Anthony Fauci was working for the CDC. He's been around a long, long time. And Anthony Fauci advised doctors all across America that the only way that we were going to beat the AIDS crisis 40 years later, and they still don't have a vaccine for HIV/AIDS, but in 20 weeks they have a vaccine for COVID-19. If you believe that, you're a very special type of person. But in 1985, a year before my brother got sick, Anthony Fauci told doctors all across America and around the world to begin using a drug called AZT. It was an experimental AIDS vaccine. That's what they called it. And in 1986, my brother was diagnosed with HIV. And under the guidance, the medical guidance of Anthony Fauci, my brother's doctor put him on high doses of AZT. Within 2 weeks, my brother went from being perfectly healthy to being in the hospital diagnosed with AIDS-related pneumonia. 2 weeks after taking AZT that Anthony Fauci said was the only way that we were going to beat this crisis, and everybody was terrified that HIV/AIDS was going to be the end of the world. So Anthony Fauci said, the only way to beat it is you have to take this medicine that the CDC says you have to take. You can't be safe if you don't take this medicine. Well, guess what my brother died of? My brother didn't die of AIDS. My brother didn't die of HIV. My brother didn't even die of pneumonia. My brother died of a heart attack and liver failure due to AZT toxicity. Can you imagine in the 1980s being diagnosed with the scariest disease in world history up until now? And the medicine that they give you to cure you kills you. This is the same Anthony Fauci who, 40 years later, is telling you that you cannot possibly make it through without having a vaccine. If I was walking through the desert and I hadn't had a drop of water in 24 hours, and my skin was cracking and turning to leather, and the inside of my throat felt like a cotton ball, I wouldn't take a cup of cold water from Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci's advice murdered my brother. My brother was murdered with medicine, pushed by the CDC, pushed by Anthony Fauci. It destroyed his liver. It stopped his heart. Man, I'm so mad. I'm still mad all these years later. I wouldn't trust Anthony Fauci no matter what he said. And whenever I'm tempted to think about taking this vaccine, and it's not that often, but every time that the thought crosses my mind, maybe I should take that vaccine, all I can remember is the sight of my brother popping those pills, AZT, and with each passing day, he got weaker and weaker and thinner and thinner. When he died, he was 6'6" and 120 pounds. He looked like a concentration camp victim. And none of those things, the weight loss, the pneumonia, the diarrhea, none of those things were caused by HIV/AIDS. Every single one of those symptoms was caused by AZT at the hands of Anthony Fauci. I'm still mad. I never got to say goodbye to my brother. I was in California and he died. It was his death that led me to go on a spiritual quest. And I wound up getting saved about a year and a half later. So God used that horrific situation to do something amazing in my life. And because my brother died, because he was my best friend, because I loved him more than I loved anybody else, he was my number one guy. And I think about him almost every single day. He died December 4th, 1988. And I think about him every single day. And every single time that I see Anthony Fauci with his big fat face on the news, fighting with Rand Paul exposing him for jacking up the COVID virus to make it so deadly and then having it released from a lab in Wuhan, China. All these years, I've wanted to have my say about Anthony Fauci from a very personal level. And I am warning you, that man is a liar. That man is a pathological, evil, demon-possessed liar. Do not believe what Fauci says. It was my job to scatter my brother's ashes after he died. A man by the name of Larry Kramer, he wrote an open letter. Larry Kramer is a gay activist. And Larry Kramer wrote an open letter to Anthony Fauci back on June 26th of 1988. And this was just a couple of months before my brother would pass away. I just want to read to you one sentence from this open letter that Larry Kramer wrote to Dr. Anthony Fauci back on June 26, 1988. Dear Dr. Fauci, you are responsible for all government-funded AIDS treatment research. In the name of right, you make decisions that cost the life of others. I call the decisions that you are making acts of murder. He went on to say, Anthony Fauci, you are a murderer and should not be the guest of honor at any event that reflects on the past decade of the AIDS crisis. I put the link into the chat room. I want you to read the full letter sometime. Anthony Fauci murdered my brother with his medicine that he frightened the whole world into believing. And you know what happened to thousands of people at the same time that my brother was taking the medicine? Because he trusted his doctor, because he trusted the CDC, because his doctor trusted Anthony Fauci. You know that there were thousands of people in the mid to late 1980s who refused to take the prescribed AIDS medication. And so many of those people are still alive today. Today, almost 40 years later. And the vast majority of the people who took the medicine that Anthony Fauci said to take have been dead for a long time. My brother has been dead since December 4th, 1988. So I wanted to start today's program. If you're thinking about taking the shot that Anthony Fauci recommends so much, just remember my brother. He trusted Anthony Fauci, and he died at the age of 33 from liver failure and from a heart attack. I'm going to trust in God to keep me safe. I'm going to trust in God because God gave me an immune system. And for many years now, I have been feeding my immune system. I am going to continue to take vitamins and minerals and get good sleep. I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke anything. I don't vape anything. I'm taking all the vitamins and minerals that I can. I'm avoiding large groups of people. God's just going to have to keep me safe and get me through. But Anthony Fauci, look at that picture that I just put into the chat room. There he is in 2001, smiling and happy with George Soros, David Rockefeller, Bill Gates Sr., and all the heads of the mainstream media. I don't trust any of those people as far as I can throw them. Anthony Fauci pretended to get vaccinated. You remember that from last year? You remember where, and I'm trying to find the article now, Anthony Fauci, he got vaccinated live on TV, and I called the article COVID Theater. Anthony Fauci appears to get vaccinated on live television in his left arm, but then points to his right arm the next day as the injection site. You think these people are telling you the truth? You better guess again. Every time you think that you want to trust Anthony Fauci, I want you to think of my brother. His name was Bob, and I loved him with all my heart. I want you to think of my brother Bob anytime that you're tempted to do whatever Anthony Fauci tells you to do. I want you to remember how in December of 2020, Anthony Fauci got vaccinated in his left arm. And then the very next day when they were asking him about it on CNN, how do you feel? And he points to his right arm and says, oh, just a little bit of soreness. Go ahead. You want to put your trust and faith in that guy? You want Anthony Fauci to be your Lord and Savior? That shot's not going to help you. And again, I can't tell you what to do, and neither would I tell you what to do. If you're saved, you have the same Holy Spirit that I have. If you're saved, you can come before the throne of grace and you can say, God, show me what the truth is. Show me what to do. That's what I did. When I finally figured out what killed my brother, it took me years to research it. Don't forget that when my brother passed away in 1988, there was no internet that you could access. I wouldn't find out until 1994, 1995, what really actually killed my brother and why he died so quickly after he started taking the medicine. But I was able to figure it out, and God led me to the truth. And if you're saved, God will lead you to the truth. But if I were you, I wouldn't waste any time in going before the Lord in prayer and saying, Father God, what should I do? Time is ticking. Time is running out. The Delta variant, I agree it was created in a laboratory, but it's real. It may not have come from nature, but it's real. Protect yourself, guard yourself. But just remember what the nurse told my buddy just 2 hours ago. How bad she felt after taking that Moderna shot. And she said she would never take another shot. That's a nurse saying that based on her own personal experience. In New York City, they're saying it's time for mandatory vaccinations. No more being nice.
12 years old and up. And look, I'm a parent. My kids went to New York City public schools. If my kids were going to school in September, I would be running to get them vaccinated right now. And like was said a moment ago, we used to do this as parents all the time for a variety of vaccinations. We've got to shake people at this point and say, come on now. We tried voluntary. You know, we could not have been more kind and compassionate as a country. Free testing everywhere you turn. Incentives, friendly, warm embrace. The voluntary phase is over. We can keep doing those things. I'm not saying shut it down. I'm saying voluntary alone doesn't work. It's time for mandates. Because
that was the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio. And predictably, after he made that comment, the man who was accused of molesting over two dozen of his employees, Governor Andrew Cuomo, the man whose executive order sent COVID-positive patients back into nursing homes in New York and killed over 17,000 people by his executive order. This is what Andrew Cuomo says that it's time to do.
And we have to get in those communities, and we have to knock on those doors, and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
Yep, that is the mission, right? That is the mission. I've been reminding you that in New York, they have something called Bill A416. And Bill A416, that is before the New York State Assembly right now. And they have been debating this for about 6 months. I want you to write this down. Share this link with people. If you're not in the chat room, go to nowtheendbegins.com and just type in A416 into the search box. And this will be the first article that will pop up. Bill A416 is a bill that would take disease-carrying people and place them in a holding area designated by the governor. This is a real bill. This is not something that I heard about from Alex Jones or anything like that. I got the information from the New York State Assembly website. Bill A416 for the removal and detention of cases, contacts, and carriers who may or are a danger to the public health. Such persons, either by name or by a reasonable specific description of the individual or group, shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegee and complying with subdivision 5 of this section. What does this bill say? This bill that still has not been voted on in New York State and is likely will pass. Bill A416 in front of the New York State Assembly gives the state of New York the power to take sick people and remove them to an undisclosed location by the authority of the governor. If you don't think you're living in the end times, you are sound asleep. You are not awake to any degree at all. You know, one of the things about what modern churches have done, and even a lot of the Baptist churches have done this, they've taken stories, historical, factual stories from the Bible, and they've kind of stripped them of their power. The story of Noah's Ark, where God destroys the entire world except for 8 people, and talks about the Nephilim and the Rephaim and the fallen angels and the Genesis 6 giants, has been reduced to a children's story about the animals walking in holding hands 2 by 2. But when you read Genesis chapter 6, there's nothing warm and fluffy about the day that God murdered, killed, snuffed out the life of every single person on the face of the earth except for Noah and his family. And when we read the stories in the Bible, like in the book of Esther, the book of Esther is one of my favorite books in the entire Bible. And when you read the book of Esther and you see about the bravery of Queen Esther and the day that Mordecai came to her Turn to Esther chapter 4 for a minute. Turn to Esther chapter 4. I want to read a couple verses. And most of the time when preachers are going to preach on Esther, they make it an inspirational, heartwarming story that brings tears to your eyes. And it's all about feelings and emotions and how you can become a better person and how you can become a better woman or a better wife. But that's not what I read when I look at the book of Esther. Esther was a real woman. She was a real human being. Her uncle Mordecai was a real human being. And the day came when God revealed to Mordecai the actual plan that Haman was working on. And Mordecai goes to Esther, who is his niece. It's his brother's daughter. Mordecai turns to Esther and they have a conversation. He gives Esther a copy of the decree from Haman that's going to wind up killing every single Jew for miles around. And God tells Mordecai to go give a message to Esther. And Esther doesn't want to hear it. Because what is being required of Esther is that she has to do something that could take her life. This is not a Bible story. Esther chapter 4 is the historical account of what actually happened. Let's start reading in Esther chapter 4, verse 10, after Mordecai tells her about the plan by Haman to kill all the Jews. Esther 4, starting in verse 10. Again, Esther spake to Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. So Mordecai sends a message to Esther, telling her that she needs to do something, because if she doesn't, Haman's order is going to kill the Jews. Esther responds back that she can't go in and talk to the king, even though the king is her husband, because there is a law that says if you go into the inner court to talk with the king and you haven't been called to do it, and you catch the king in a bad mood, he can have you put to death, no questions asked. So that's the message that Esther sends to Mordecai. Now I want you to pay attention to the response from Mordecai. Starting in verse 13. We're in Esther chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." For those of you that have said that you wanted to live in Bible times. You're living in Bible times right now. You are living in a time that is at the very end of the church age, so close to the pre-tribulation rapture that the two dispensations are actually overlapping each other right now. We are watching this world prepare itself to receive Antichrist. We are watching it happen right now. And the headlines are absolutely like they were written by Jack Chick from one of his Chick tracks. And everywhere that you look, it is absolute unfettered craziness. Transgenders are being rammed down our throat. People are not allowed to protest a deadly vaccine. But the LGBTQ is allowed to control the streets in America and in Europe. With each passing day, more and more organizations and businesses and companies are threatening their employees that if they don't take this vaccine, they're going to lose their job. Now, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast, but it's like the mark of the beast, because what are they doing? You're not allowed to go into the marketplace. You're not allowed to go into restaurants or Broadway shows or concerts if you can't prove that you've been vaccinated. That is absolutely the same principle as the mark of the beast. The American Medical Association is going to remove biological sex from birth certificates. Can you think of anything that is more deluded and more insane than having to debate if there's more than two genders? What type of idiot, what type of moron could ever possibly think that there's more than a man or a woman? And they do all these things. Men are chemically castrating themselves and putting on a dress and putting on lipstick and say, if you don't call me a woman, then you're a that's hate speech. And you need to be put in jail. You need to be censored on Twitter and Facebook. You need to be shut down. All these things are raging all at the same time. Now, why do I say that you're living in the end times? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We are living in perilous times, and these times have been clearly outlined in your King James Bible. And congratulations. If you're hearing my voice, that means you're alive, and that means that you have lived long enough to see the dispensation in the process of changing. You have lived long enough to see this world preparing to receive Antichrist. As we look and wait for that blessed hope from Titus 2:13, Paul says to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We are watching a world literally go to hell, fighting each other over whether or not men can become women, or women can become men, or can men have a menstrual period? Can men give birth to a baby? No. The answer to all those things is no. And yet, on every level, across America, around the world, school curriculums are being changed. The American Medical Association says it's no longer proper to call a baby a boy or a girl. You don't think you're living in Bible times? You don't think that you suddenly woke up within the pages of Revelation chapter 3, chapter 4, kind of stuck right between the two pages? Because that's where you are. This thing's not going away. This thing's not going to get any better. It's going to change. It's going to get different. It's not going to get any better. Take a listen to Tucker having a conversation with Rand Paul. Science does not support mask wearing. Take a listen.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky joins us. Senator, thanks so much for coming on. So many questions.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to ask you. Let me just say this. The first, why would people who have recovered from COVID and have active antibodies and are therefore immune, they have natural immunity, why would they be forced to take an experimental vaccine to give them artificial immunity?
Yeah, there's no science behind it. All of the studies that have looked at natural immunity show that natural immunity has at least as good of immunity as you get from a vaccine. People have to realize that vaccines are based on what we learned from natural immunity over the last couple of hundred years, how the body responds to a foreign particle, a virus or a bacteria, and then we simulate that with a vaccine. So the vaccine is simulating the natural immunity that I have, but Dr. Fauci discounts it. 35 million people officially have had COVID, but really conservative estimates, even from the CDC, indicate another 70 some odd million have had it. So really, it's over 100 million Americans have had it. Probably 150, 160 million have been inoculated with the vaccine. Together, we have an enormous amount of success with immunity. In fact, the other day I saw that over 65 years of age, 90% of people have now been inoculated. So this is extraordinary success. And yet they say, oh, no, we have to inoculate your newborn in the hospital before you can take them home. It makes no sense. And the science doesn't support it.
You're a physician licensed to practice, have practiced for many years. I thought it was part of the foundational ethics of American science that you could not force people to accept medicine, cognizant people who can make their own decisions to accept medicines that they don't want and they don't need. Is that true?
Yeah, without question. In a free society, each individual makes their own decision. Medicine is based on your own individual history and ultimately on your choice. Sometimes you get more than one doctor's opinion because all the doctors don't agree on the advice.
Right.
But right now, they're going back to masks saying it's the Delta variant. Well, there's one large study out of England from Public Health England, 92,000 patients. And do you know how many people died in the vaccinated wing of this under age 50? Zero. Do you know how many people died? There were 52,000 people unvaccinated. Do you know how many people died? Six. That works out to 0.08%, less than the flu. That's under age 50. Over age 50, it was about half as many people died as were dying last year. So the Delta variant is more transmissible but less deadly. But if you say that, Facebook will take you down. They'll chastise you, take away your birthday, and say you're spreading mistruth. But it's absolutely factual. The Delta variant is more transmissible, but far less deadly than the virus from last year.
This seems like lunacy to me. As a non-expert, you are an expert. Are you worried that people in charge of the most powerful country in the world could make baldly irrational decisions, not be challenged on it, not be stopped when they do it? Where does that lead?
The real problem is when we get to groupthink, when there's no more skepticism. And even scientists such as Einstein realize that science, it was important to be skeptical and always challenging each other. And he always said, even I am one experiment away from being disproven. We need skepticism, healthy skepticism. There needs to be robust debate. But realize what Facebook and Twitter are pushing us towards is a world in which there is no debate. There is only one truth, but they promulgate that truth. The truth comes from them. But they're not disinterested people. Look at Dr. Fauci. One of the reasons he's being dishonest is if this virus attaches to the Wuhan lab and he's been funding the Wuhan lab, yeah, it attaches with that moral culpability and responsibility. He wants none of that, but he can't be impartial because any funding to that the Wuhan lab now sticks to him. And that's why he's doing everything he can to cover it up.
Man, maybe we could have a congressional investigation into that. That'd be great. Senator Rand Paul, I appreciate.
So there you have Tucker talking with Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul. He called Fauci a liar. I call Fauci a liar. The Jerusalem Post today is talking about ivermectin. It's a drug that has been used to fight parasites in third world countries. It's been approved by the FDA since 1987. The people who discovered the drug in 2015 were awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine. Ivermectin, it's cheap. It doesn't cost a lot of money. It's been approved for nearly 40 years. And they just did a double-blind study to show that ivermectin reduces the disease duration and infectiousness. Guess who's against it? The World Health Organization that's run by the United Nations, that's funded by Bill Gates. Remember we told you that Bill Gates is the largest single donator to the WHO? Well, the WHO is against ivermectin, this cheap, safe drug. The FDA, they're also against ivermectin. But in study after study after study, and in this one at the Jerusalem Post, it was a double-blind study. Nearly 72% of the volunteers that were treated with ivermectin tested negative for the virus by day 6 of its use. Schwartz said, our study shows first and foremost that ivermectin has antiviral activity. It also shows that there is almost a 100% chance that a person will be non-infectious in 4 to 6 days, which could lead to shortening isolation time for these people. Isn't that interesting? Their double-blind study shows that there is almost a 100% chance that people with COVID will be non-infectious 4 to 6 days after using ivermectin. And yet the WHO and the FDA, they say no go. They say that they want you to take your shot, your hot shot. You got to get injected with the Moderna shot. That's hacking the software of life. Moderna's funded by Bill Gates. They're all funded by Bill Gates. Remember last year when Bill Gates said that he was going to create 7 vaccine factories? Well, what he actually did is he funded 7 pharmaceutical companies, which has so far has created 9 billionaires. Companies like Moderna and AstraZeneca are showing record profits. Selling these vaccines has literally become like having a ATM machine. They're making more money than they know what to do with. In the meantime, thousands of people are dying and hundreds of thousands of people are having unbelievably scary bad reactions. The nurse who took care of my buddy today said she would never take another shot. Take a listen to this, Grassley to Fauci. Do you do any oversight of the taxpayer money that you sent to the Echo Health Lab in Wuhan, China?
President, on June 8th of this year, I sent a letter I came to the floor, I should say, instead, to speak about my oversight activities with respect to the origins of the coronavirus. As part of that oversight, on March 8th and May 26th of this year, I wrote to the Department of Health and Human Services about its oversight of grants set to eco-health alliances. The department sent millions of dollars to eco-health. That group then sub-awarded hundreds of thousands of dollars of that taxpayer money to Wuhan Institute of Virology.
All right, so I'm going to stop Senator Chuck Grassley there for a second. He's telling you that under the guidance and authority of Anthony Fauci, millions and millions of dollars were sent overseas to Asia to conduct experiments on viruses. And part of those experiments that were conducted took place in the Wuhan lab of virology, where gain-of-function research was performed on the relatively benign coronaviruses. For years now, if you look on the back of a can of Lysol, and it says that Lysol will kill 99.9% of all bacteria and viruses and germs. For years, every single can of Lysol that's ever been produced lists the coronavirus as one of the viruses that Lysol will kill. COVID-19 is a coronavirus that had gain-of-function research performed on it to make it many, many times more deadly. That's what Chuck Grassley is talking about.
Reports have indicated that $600,000 to $826,000 was sent to Wuhan Institute of Virology. So, folks, what we have here is taxpayer money that was sent to the communist Chinese government. That's a pretty scary proposition. When we send taxpayers' money to the Chinese government, if there's no oversight done on that money, then we really don't have any idea how it's used. Just look at the news about China kicking the French at the Wuhan, out of the Wuhan laboratory. China can't be trusted, period. But I'm not sure bureaucrats share that same view. I'm talking about bureaucrats of our government. To illustrate, Dr. Anthony Fauci has said that Chinese scientists are trustworthy. That, quote, we really always trust the grantee to do what they say, end of quote. As a threshold matter, if a government worker doesn't show at least a little bit of skepticism about how a grant recipient is using the taxpayers' money, they aren't doing their job. That skepticism is healthy, and it's basic good government to question the recipient to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do with our money. Dr. Fauci has also stated that the National Institute of Health, quote, has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, end of quote. That's a pretty confident statement. When my colleague, Senator Paul, questioned Dr. Fauci on his position with respect to gain-of-function research, that same Dr. Fauci called my colleague a liar. Well, the way I see it, the only way that Dr. Fauci and the government can be so confident that no gain-of-function research was done is if they performed the proper oversight of the money, the American taxpayers' money, sent to China. In both my letters to the Department of Health and Human Services, I asked that very question. So far, the Department of Health and Human Services had failed to answer the question. On June the 10th of this year, at the Senate Finance Committee hearing, I asked Secretary Becerra what, if any, oversight was done. He didn't give me an answer. I asked again in a follow-up question for the record. Still, no response. Even though all these people that come before our committee for nomination approval always say, we'll answer your letters, we'll answer the phone, we'll testify. But no answer to that question yet. The director of the National Institute of Health, Dr. Francis Collins, has also been silent on what, if any, oversight was done on the grants to the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
So there you have Senator Chuck Grassley, and he's telling you in that clip that there was no oversight performed on the millions of dollars that Anthony Fauci funneled overseas that wound up funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Nobody is responsible. Nobody is being held accountable. And when the various senators have been asking the various organizations and the heads of these outlets for information, nobody has any answers to give them. Nobody is talking. You know, the CDC stopped reporting the statistics of vaccinated people who went on to be hospitalized from COVID. They didn't think that that was an important number. And over the last couple of weeks, they said there's barely 5,000 people who have been double vaccinated and wound up in the hospital with COVID. But the reality was there was over 25,000 people. And everywhere you look, they're fudging the numbers. This is why people don't trust the vaccine. This is why people don't want to listen to what the government says. The very same government that is accusing you of misinformation is giving you disinformation. And if you're on Facebook and Twitter, as of this moment, I am still suspended on Facebook. As of this moment, I am still suspended on Twitter. And what has Facebook and Twitter suspended me for? For telling the truth about the COVID virus, for telling the truth about the vaccines, for playing these audio clips of people saying in their own words what's happening and what's going on. But we live in a time where truth has fallen in the streets and lies are ruling the day. And nobody knows who to trust. Nobody knows who's telling the truth. Well, let me tell you something. The King James Bible is telling you the truth. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is telling you the truth. You're not going to get the truth from the mainstream media, not even from Fox News. I still like to listen to Tucker Carlson because I believe that he is still telling the truth most of the time. But even there, I take it on a case-by-case basis. I don't watch any news. I'll go to YouTube and I'll get clips so I can write about what's happening, so I can give you audio clips of what people said. But I turned off the news about 4 years ago. I don't watch it, and you shouldn't watch it either, because they're lying to you. Take a listen to Ted Cruz saying that the government cannot force you to take the vaccine.
The Biden administration wants every American to wear a mask. Doesn't matter if you've been vaccinated. Even if you've been vaccinated, they say you got to wear a mask.
The CDC updating its indoor mask guidance, now recommending vaccinated Americans put the mask back on too, and even advising universal masking. Everybody in a school needs to wear a mask, even if they've had the shot.
This is, not to put too fine a point on it, crap. This isn't science. There should be no COVID mandates. No vaccine mandates. The government has no business forcing you to take this vaccine. No mask mandates and no vaccine passports. Listen, vaccines work. I've been vaccinated. My family's been vaccinated. But that's a personal choice. That's a personal choice that you can make for your life and your family. We believe in freedom. We believe in individual responsibility. You can make this choice. You know, on Capitol Hill, Democrats right now are engaged in kabuki theater. Just about everyone's been vaccinated. And yet they're putting on their masks to show just how submissive and compliant they are to this new government edict. It doesn't make any sense. We can take common sense steps to defeat COVID-19. That's a good thing. But giving up our freedom to over-controlling government bureaucrats who want to shut down our schools, shut down our businesses, shut down our churches, and shut down our lives. The Democrats have done enough of that this year. No damn more.
Good morning, Miss Garcia.
Good morning, Sunshine. I miss you. I could kiss you right now.
Yeah, well, someday.
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development
new
today.
New data confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Whoa! I'm immune!
Worldwide death toll rises to over 110 million.
All infected Americans are being forced into quarantine camps.
Sarah,
what's going on?
Department of Sanitation.
Sarah, talk to me.
I think my neighbor has a fever.
It'll be so much easier if you just open the door. Mrs. Grant, you have visitors.
Sarah, do not open that door.
No! Please! I'm not safe!
Beginning thermal scan. 3, 2, 1. Anomaly detected. Armed guards will be arriving in 4 to 6 hours. You must not attempt to leave your home, or you will be shot on sight.
This is my message to you.
I know you're in there.
They're coming. I have to let you go.
No.
Sarah!
Say goodbye to me.
Sarah, I'm not letting you give up.
This is my message to you.
Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to survive.
I'm trying to save the one person left in my life that matters to me.
I can't help you. What you're talking about is illegal.
Nico.
I'm here.
Every little thing gonna be all right.
And remember, stay safe, sane, and sanitized.
So the first question is the vaccine safe? Frankly, I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion.
Who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us. I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump. If Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
I don't trust the president, and I don't trust the FDA.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
The American people don't trust the process. I don't trust the process.
You shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others if you are for providing misinformation out there.
So there you have it. I played a little bit of a montage for you. Ted Cruz talking about how it is un-American and unpatriotic to force people to take a vaccine. I played the clip from Songbird. Man, oh man, that's becoming more and more true every single day, isn't it? That predictive programming is something. They really like to broadcast what's coming. And then I just played that clip of Andrew Cuomo, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, all telling you 7 months ago how distrustful that they were of the vaccine. Joe Biden telling you not to take it, that it wouldn't be vetted properly, that the proper research wouldn't be done on it. That's what your president said just a few months ago. And now this same president, who is in the middle stages of dementia and being controlled by his handlers, he's telling you that if you don't take that vaccine, you can't be safe. Do you trust any of these people? See, this is why we play audio clips. So you don't have to take my word for it. So you can hear with your own ears what's going on. All the chatter that I'm hearing is that you need to prepare for another lockdown sometime between the middle of August and the middle of September. And the chatter is absolutely increasing. And it looks like the Democrats, if they can get away with it, and it looks like they can because they have the Congress, it's a split with the Senate. They got Kamala Harris as the deciding Senate vote, and they have Joe Biden pretending to be president. At least until the midterms, they really pretty much control everything. So you should do your due diligence and just buy some extra food, buy some extra supplies, toilet paper, paper towels, soap, medical supplies, whatever you normally need. But I am preparing for another lockdown. And I believe that it's highly likely that it's going to come. So I don't want you to catch, to be caught by surprise when it shows up. After the service yesterday morning, I went to my local Publix to do some grocery shopping, and already the lines are getting long. I didn't see people necessarily panic shopping. I didn't see grocery carts that were filled with nothing but paper towels or nothing but toilet paper or nothing but bottles of water that you usually see when there's panic shopping. But there was a crazy, every single line had 4, 5, 6 people with shopping carts. And outside of Thanksgiving or Christmas or a lockdown, you don't really see that type of lines at the grocery stores here in Florida. And I saw that yesterday. So I am taking a cue from the chatter that I'm hearing. And hey, if I prepare for a lockdown and a lockdown doesn't happen, then all right, then I'm prepared. That's no problem. But if I were you, especially if you're listening to this broadcast in what they call a blue state, like New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, California, if you're Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, if you're listening to this program and you live in a blue state that's run by Democrats, it would be smart to prepare yourself for a lockdown. If the lockdown doesn't happen, then all right, you're prepared. But if the lockdown does happen, you know that they're going to suddenly make all the major supplies disappear on the shelves, and they're going to blame it on the supply chain, which may or may not be true. Who knows? The whole theme of this program today is that people are lying to you so badly that you don't know what to believe. And I'll tell you, if I didn't have my King James Bible, that I know when I pick it up and I open it and I read it, that I am reading absolute truth from the mouth of God, if I didn't have that book, I would be afraid. If I didn't have that book, I would be absolutely panic-stricken right now. But I'm not panic-stricken, and I'm really not afraid. And the reason for that is, I am persuaded that he is able. Are you persuaded that he is able? That's what the Bible says. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you believe that? I hope you do. I believe that. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." We live in a time where truth has fallen in the streets. And it's not just here in America. We have listeners in 130 different countries. And people email me all the time. I get so many emails that I am about 2 weeks behind. And I'm really trying. Pray for me. I am really trying to keep up with my emails. But it's so busy. And everybody in every country is experiencing some form of what we're experiencing here in America. America just happens to be the spotlight country. America is always in the news. But these things that are happening are not unique to America. They're happening in the Middle East and across Asia and across Europe and across the African continent. I just got this, just came across my desk from Penny. Representative McCall on the House GOP's bombshell Wuhan lab report. They are calling it the greatest cover-up in human history. Representative Michael McCall from Texas shared new findings from the House Foreign Affairs Committee Republicans probe into the possible origins of the COVID-19 coronavirus on Monday and accused the Chinese Communist Party of engaging in the greatest cover-up in human history. Now, the Chinese, if they are guilty of this, they didn't do it alone. They had help from Anthony Fauci. They had help from the CDC. And when I say help, we're talking millions of dollars. McCall also called for top researchers involved in the Wuhan lab to be sanctioned and singled out. There's a group called the EcoHealth Alliance, and they sent $3.4 million in grants from the National Institutes of Health under Anthony Fauci, and they sent this money to the Wuhan lab between 2014 and 2019, according to the Wall Street Journal. They're calling it the greatest cover-up in human history. Anthony Fauci, we told you that back in 2010, Anthony Fauci was put in a leadership position on Bill Gates' Global Vaccine Alliance. Anthony Fauci, everywhere you turn the stones over, Anthony Fauci is there. He has been used by the New World Order for quite some time. And he's been very, very effective. And now, all these things that they've had in place for the last 50 or 60 years, they're all those seeds that were planted. 2020 was the year that they bloomed. Global lockdowns, global masking, global vaccinations. It's like we're living in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. And it's like that because we are. Last night on our program, we had Connie who got saved. Rita got saved a few weeks ago. And Demarius got saved roughly around that time. Because of your support, we have a ministry available, a global ministry available that is telling people the truth in these crazy times. And we're sending out 1,100 King James starting in August. We've increased our funding because you're giving. We increased our funding to 1,100 plus King James Bibles that are being sent out. Miranda at the bookstore told me on Friday that just last week we got almost 40 orders through the bookstore for the Ruckman Reference Bibles. And every single week the requests for the free Bibles are increasing. And I want to be able to not only supply the current needs, but I want to be ready to do more. So if God has laid on your heart to support this ministry, please give and be very generous. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to continue to operate at this level. I'm looking at every broadcast, every day, every article, every story. I think to myself, if this was the last one that I was able to do, what would I say? What would I write? What audio would I play? What music would I play? What would I tell people to do? If this was the last broadcast that I ever got to do for whatever reason, now, hey, I'm not going to quit. I'm here to the end. And I know that you're here to the end with me, whenever that's going to be. The war is real and the battle is hot and the time is beyond short. And it's not just to the fight, we're in the fight. I can't call you to the fight because we're in it. And I want to increase the amount of Bibles that we're sending out. If God be willing, I want to get it up to 2,000 Bibles per month that we send out completely for free. We don't make a penny on that. We're at 1,100 plus right now. I want to get it to 2,000. I'm giving everything I have for this fight. This is all I do 7 days a week. And it makes me so happy when I see so many of you listening to these programs and handing out gospel tracts and getting on fire where you live in your state, in your town, in your city, in your country, in your nation. So many people are telling me that because they listen to these broadcasts, that they've gotten their fire back for the Lord and they got courage to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. My friend Mark died on Friday from COVID-19 pneumonia. Mark was one of my street preachers. He believed everything that I believe. He was very, very passionate about seeing lost people get saved. And his life came to an end on Friday. And you and I are still here Monday afternoon. And I want you to resolve with me. Like I said, if this was my last broadcast, what would I say? I would say, only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Leave it all on the field. There is nothing here in this life that you take with you, but what you do for the Lord, that follows ahead of you. And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to have your fancy house, your fancy car, your beautiful spouse, your loving children, your career, your plans, your goals, your hopes, your dreams, your Dave Ramsey 12-step to financial freedom. You don't take any of that with you. The only thing that you take with you is the work that you did for the Lord Jesus Christ. That you take with you. That you take to the judgment seat of Christ. And that is what you get rewarded on. So if this was the last message that I was ever able to give, I would say only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. I would say, go and gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. If this was the last broadcast that I was ever able to do, I would say something like this. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. If today was the last broadcast that I was ever able to do, I would say this. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall be turned away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. If today was the last broadcast I was ever able to do, I would say, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If today was the last day that I ever broadcast, or today was the last day that I ever wrote an article, if today was the last day I ever preached or taught or gave anybody an exhortation from Scripture, that's what I would say. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, you should double it. You should triple it. You should quadruple it. Whatever it is, whatever it happens to be, do it while you still have time to do it. Because the night is coming when no man can work. I thank you very much for tuning in today. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Thank you so much for tuning in, and have a great week, everybody. One.
was hard to fall asleep. But one little lamb stood in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the young lamb had to die, for why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain, his steel remained, but he wanted. So filled with fear, crying,
Father, will you take a look and see if the blood is still there?
Yes, it's on that one.
We are. is not if, but when. So take joy in the journey, even when it feels long. We'll find strength in each step, knowing heaven is cheering you on. We are almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head, keep pressing on. We are almost home, almost home, almost home. I know that the cross has brought heaven to us, but make no mistake, there's still more to come. When our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're